Saturday before last, all morning with Eisenhower. Today he had this talk with Montgomery by the satellite. And he told me, he said, I just gone far beyond my hopes in handling the situation. Exactly the right thing. Glad you have to have it, but you do have to have it. You're always going to have it. But I just want you to know it.
Thank you, Bob.
Now,
how are you getting along with Panama?
Well, Panama is slow, and the day that the fighting broke out in Santo Domingo, they went home. We had a date with them last Tuesday, and they didn't show up. We had a date with them Friday, and they didn't show up. I talked to Arias, Carpenter, to see if he didn't want to negotiate on the weekend. I said maybe we'd get more time that way, more leisure. I'm perfectly glad to see Saturday and Sunday. Talking about this, I said, well, he didn't think that was necessary, and that's some kind of an emergency. Now, we've got a sort of guidance paper, which I want to talk to see. And I've talked to every member of the leadership on both sides of the island there, except Morris, whom I have been able to read, Long, whom I have been able to read, and Morgan, whom I haven't been able to read, and some of the others. While some of them have one shade of feeling and the other, I think generally they feel that you've got to be firm on two things. Security of the canal, the operation of the canal, is flexible on the other. We're going to have some problems with the military. You never want to give up the prairie and the territory, but it affects them. But we can bring those to you as we get to them. But I think they realize, just like we do, that they've got an unstable government. And when they broke out of the country, why, they went home and what the floor was. We'll pursue it as rapidly as we can get our other boys to down with it.
Well, we got a hell of a problem down in Dominican. We almost had an agreement worked up. The goddamn New York Times jumps up our negotiators and got it all out down, got them all divided and so on and so forth. I don't know, every time, every issue of the Times gives me another crisis.
Let me tell you one thing to remember about the Times, Mr. President. They are a trust.
They just got these fellas down there, Tad Schultz and them, and they just, they're awful, but we can't say anything about it, just got to take it in their stride. Our great problem, here's what we really faced with. We think that we can get a good, mediocre, non-communist president. But the rebels do not want it. They want complete victory. And they don't have anything to back it up with. I mean, they just can't, we can't recognize them on that basis. The same thing is true of the Embert crowd. They're great extremes. Now, we can go in the middle and get a non-communist president and get an agreement that we'll work the communists out of the country, but then we can get an Edgar Hoover type fella in there to try to do it, but it's not going to be any fast mop-up. It's going to be a long-time operation. Or, if we don't do that, we're likely to have a breeding of the Camaño government with Embert. They're trying to get together and just tell us to get the hell out of there.
Well, I hope you can do the latter, but as I tell you.
The latter?
Well, no, the former.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Because I tell you.
Well, that's right, Bob, but that's what they're going to charge you with, whatever goes. If you take a man that that you can get, I've got a man that's really, that's non-communist. I've had him checked out carefully. He's a friend of Bosch's. Bosch likes him. He's a friend of the loyalists. They like him. He's a kind of an Eisenhower type fellow. He'll give us a pledge against communism, and he'll make a speech saying that he's not going to have anything to do with them and so forth, and he'll work with our people. That's one choice. The other choice is to let this Camaño get with Embert, but neither of whom really have any principle. And under the first choice, Camaño and Embert are both out. But they can cause a hell of a lot of trouble. And they're getting together under OAS auspices at 10 o'clock this morning. They may get an agreement among themselves that I can't influence.
Yeah.
And say to hell with you, Yankees.
Well, if they say that, I would seriously consider not withdrawing my they got together.
Well, I think that's right. But now, what do you do if you don't satisfy Embert, who's pretty extreme? He's going to say that you've sold out, and you ought to back him, and that you dominate by the communists.
Well, Mr. President, all you can say is that security.
Like a real calculated guess, and the only thing I can be guided by now is my own CIA and FBI.
Right.
And they have suspicions of everybody on every side. But I've got a man who is not a strong man. That's the damn difficulty. The strong ones become extremists.
Yep.
He's a moderate, fair, good, honest man. And our basic choice is either taking him or letting them combine, or just sitting there and letting them fight it out and deteriorate.
Yeah. Well, I think if you get your compromise worked out, it's fine. If you get your compromise worked out, I wouldn't have it to bring the paper. But it's quiet as hard, it goes back.
Here's a summary of it. The foregoing explains the bargaining detail. The underlying questions are these. With Mr. X, we shall have no quick end to the communist threat, but equally, we'll have no communist takeover. We shall have a long contest with French civilization and no de Gaulle. If instead we back the loyalists to the limit, we could certainly win, but I doubt it if we could ever remove troops for many years. This island is a cockpit of senseless hate, where no strong and responsible leadership has yet emerged, and where energy is largely polarized to the extreme left and extreme right. My own conclusion is that we should persist in the present effort to establish Mr. A promptly, but without any concessions whatever, in the basic agreed position, constitutionalism, C, communism, no. But some entrenched elements in the rebel command will be sworn enemies to the United States, and even Mr. A himself, in the long run. Right now, the net of the short-run pressure runs against the rebels, so we have some leverage if only we can keep our honest man from going happily home. He's agreed to take it, and Bosch has agreed to go along with him, and we've got people pretty generally agreed on it, but he's not too happy about it. Your motto is still right, but both C and no. I said Constitution C, and communism no. They can't have any communists in the government, but they've got to have the 63 Constitution. Your motto is still right, but both C and no must be somewhat qualified, no matter what course we take. The guns are in the streets, and there's no Dominican will our way to get them back soon.
Well, of course, that looks like a
solution. So the first day in San Domingo persuades us that even a temporary settlement is very difficult. With great pain and difficulty, Mr. Davidson built a long bridge out from Bosch to this brutalized and fanatically divided island, but a day of most intense discussion shows this bridge has no solid pillars on the opposite bank. That means the right.
Yeah.
Moreover, Embert and other right-wingers are trying to knock it down before it's built. The first disconcerting experience was a violent rebel rejection of yesterday's agreed principle that the Minister of Armed Forces should be chosen by joint agreement. Hector Eastu, reportedly in the lead rebel, appears to have insisted violently on Monty Arachi, who holds this post under Camagno, and is totally unacceptable to the loyalists. When I repudiated this wild notion, Mr. A fell back upon Rafael Hernandez, who is totally unacceptable. I pointed out by agreement we were already asking the loyalists for their list of names, and injection of any single rebel name would produce violent charge of bad faith. A then asserted with every show of conviction, tinged by relief, that in that case there's no further chance of his success, and he would give up. No question that rebel military leaders shook him badly. You see, the supposed president goes back to try to agree on something these damn communists get a hold of.
Yeah.
And won't let him agree. In this situation, I suggested the possibility of delaying appointment of defense secretary and the president retaining powers himself. He revived remarkably and he went off to try this on the rebels. He returned shortly with their agreement, but the agreement only masked a very dangerous concession by him to the rebel leaders, which led to my call to you last night. He was offering rebel control over nomination of chief of army staff while making this proposal that he would keep the defense ministry. When questions revealed his unwillingness or his unacceptability to name a good army chief, then I took time out.
Yeah, of course.
Meanwhile, loyalist generals spent most of the day on extended and passionate argument over our planned compromise with violent objection 63 Constitution. This is very foolish, says Cy Vance, but Vance joined in the first-hand judgment that it's literally a fighting matter with the loyalist leaders. So the damn right-wingers won't let them go back to the Constitution. We want them to go back to the Constitution and give us a pledge of no communists. And I've got a 10 o'clock meeting coming over, and I'll see what happens. And God Almighty, you watch Panama any way you can, make your record as clear as you can. You can drop them a little note or something and say that things look like you're getting where you can really talk. Where you can really talk.